I'm just really rejoicing this morning in the music that we've been able to enjoy together, and it all comes down to this. It's, you know, just think about congregations all around the world today worshiping our risen Savior. This is it's such a privilege to be a part of it. All of us, you know, in one big family, the family of God. Rejoicing in the event, Christmas and Easter, without the resurrection, there would be no church, we of all people would be the most to be pitied for believing in someone who isn't alive, he is alive, and it's a privilege to be standing here to speak to you and simply to give witness to the resurrection. It's a joyous day, and I just want to begin by reading a longer section of scripture than usual. Typically on Easter we read the section on the resurrection, but I'd like to read the accounts of all the events following Jesus' crucifixion and right up to the end where he gives the Great Commission to his disciples, and really kind of bring us into the flow of all that was going on. So let's look at the word of God together from Matthew 27. So this is immediately following. This is still Good Friday, the crucifixion. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. And going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. And he rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after three days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. And this last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go and make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. And then go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. There's an understatement. Greetings. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And when the chief priests had met with elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say,
His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. And then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. So there's the honesty of Scripture. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So there's the mission of the church. Right there. You know, I think when in reference to this story that they were supposed to tell, that the disciples came and stole the body. You know, when you think about it, you know, what good would a dead body do to what good would it do the disciples to have this dead body in their possession? How is that going to empower them in any way to do what they did, which was to, you know, go out and preach with boldness when their own necks were on the block? I mean, you know, that's such evidence to the fact that he is risen, the fact that the disciples went from this place of being totally depressed to having this courage and this boldness to begin the church. Well, you know, I hope you can appreciate, as I do, you know, reading the larger account and everything that was going on. And a couple weeks ago, I began to look at this account again, prayerfully seeking some piece of it to jump out at me, going, "Preach this part this time." Preached a lot of Easter sermons. And so I was looking for, you know, just a little piece to focus on. And God is good. No more than 10 minutes into my search, these words jumped out at me, I believe by the Spirit. "Just as he said, he is not here. He has risen, just as he said." Now, I'm sure that most of you are aware that Jesus told his disciples three times on his final journey to Jerusalem that he would be handed over to the chief priests, and that he would they would condemn him to death and would flog him and mock him before crucifying him, and then on the third day he would rise. Three times Jesus told the disciples this. And I just want to just show you just one, the final time in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 20, 17 to 19. "Now as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and he said to them, 'We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised to life.'" It happened just as he said. This would be a message on the trustworthiness of Jesus, the trustworthiness of his word. Our Redeemer is faithful and true. What he said he would do, he will do. In the Old Testament, we have many examples of God saying what he would do to redeem the human race. He said that through the descendants of Abraham, the whole world would be blessed. He said that through the tribe of Judah and the family of David, a Redeemer would come, the Messiah. God said that the kingdom of this anointed one would be forever and that he would be called God's son. This is all in the Old Testament. God said, he just said, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem during the reign of the Roman Empire. It all happened just as he said. Jesus told his disciples before his death that after his death he would send to them the Comforter, the Counselor, his Spirit, who would guide them and empower them and teach them. It happened just as he said. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon a group of gathered disciples from all over the Mediterranean world. And the Spirit came upon this gathered group with power, and the Church of Jesus Christ was born. And now the Church of Jesus Christ numbers in the billions. One-third of the world's population . Our Redeemer is faithful and true. What he said he would do, he will do. He is trustworthy. Yet, of course, our trusting in his trustworthiness for most is an ongoing struggle. We can readily identify with doubting Thomas, who wouldn't believe until he saw Jesus with his own eyes and saw the marks, the wounds on his hands, his feet, his side. We live in a broken world where many things happen that make no sense to us and leave us wondering about the trustworthiness of God. And the senseless suffering of millions is brought into our living rooms through the media. Aurora, Colorado. Newtown, Connecticut. Hurricane Sandy. Katrina. The starving millions in the third world. Corrupt governments oppressing their own people. Premature death happening in so many families, Bertie shared already this morning. We go through our personal trials and we pray and wait, and then we wait some more, and then we wait some more, months, years. And we grow impatient and frustrated in waiting for God to help us, to answer our prayers. It's a ridiculously broken world. Just as he said. Jesus said that in this world we would have troubles and tribulation. It is just as he said. But he also said, take heart, I have overcome the world. That is what the resurrection is about. He has overcome this broken world and the very evil forces that put him on the cross and that are so evident in the world today. In one of those Old Testament prophecies, and perhaps this is the best known one from Isaiah chapter 53, God said that this is what was going to happen to his suffering servant, the Messiah. Isaiah 52, beginning with verse 13. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Many of you have seen the Passion of the Christ. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his or her own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Then verse 11. After the suffering of his soul, and here's a prophecy of the resurrection, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Hallelujah. Easter is a prime time for once again stirring up our faith to believe that our Redeemer is faithful and true. What he said he would do, he will do. And to remember that the next time the test comes in this broken world, and it is going to come. We all know that. The next test will come. Our Redeemer is faithful and true. What he said he would do, he will do. So, what are some of the key promises of Jesus to remember? What are some of the things he said that he would do? What are some of the things that we should trust? Well, moving through the Gospels, he said that he would be with his followers always to the end of the age. Matthew 28. He said that as we offer himself to him in faith, that he would give his Spirit to us to dwell in us, to comfort us, counsel us, and guide us, and teach us, and open the Scriptures to us so that we can understand them better. John 14, John 16. He said he would make our lives bear fruit as we abide in his word and in a relationship with him. John 15. He said he would give our lives purpose as we remain in him. He would empower our ministries. He said that he would give us authority over our enemy, Satan, and enable us to overcome all the power of our enemy, Luke 10. He said that he would hear and answer our prayers as we come knocking, asking, seeking, Luke 11. He said that he would come again to this earth and gather his church to himself, consummate his kingdom, and bring in the new heaven and the new earth, Revelation 21. It will be just as he said. Now, how does that hit you? Well, now a special treat. I've asked my friend Dick Shelton, who for many years here he and his wife Joni and their family were members of WPC for many years before they moved over to Peterborough. And Dick, there's one particular song. Dick played a lot of music for us, and there was one particular song that was very special to this congregation that brought us back to the trustworthiness of our Redeemer in times that maybe we felt that our faith was flagging, that we were in a time of flagging trust. So I'm just going to let Dick finish this sermon.